Today on the Inland Journal podcast, my colleague Steve Jackson begins a round of interviews with Spokane mayoral candidates. The next three programs will feature people running for the city's highest office. Today, Jonathan Bingle, Thursday, Kelly Cruz, Friday, Ben Stuckert. Here's Steve's conversation with Jonathan Bingle.
Hey, Jonathan, welcome to our studio. So why don't we start with this? Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what is your, you know, what's your own background and why do you think that translates into the fact that you could make a good mayor for Spokane? Yeah.
Well, I was born and raised in Spokane, Washington. I went to Rogers High School. I went to Spokane Falls Community College. And while I was in college, I realized, you know what? I don't want to work for anybody. And so I started an events and entertainment business and been doing that full time for about 9 years. And so that's a little bit about who I am. I got married about 7 years ago. And honestly, everybody, if they get a chance, you guys should meet my wife and you'll understand why our business is so successful, because she's a real champ, man. She's just amazing. So
yeah. What skills maybe do you think you have that translate from that would be applicable to the job as mayor?
And the thing that's unique about me as opposed to the other candidates is that I have been a full-time business owner for 9 years. And when you're full-time and you have employees depending on you, money matters. Every dollar matters when you're thinking about investments into the future and investments into your employees. And should I be saving this? Should we take on this debt to expand our business here? There's just a lot of decisions that are made when you're the executive that other people don't have that pressure, because there's always somebody else in our business. There's nobody else. The buck stops here. And you know, if nobody else can make a decision, you have to be the one who's capable of making that decision. And so that's a skill that is learned over the years on how to balance properly the needs of your employees, the needs of yourself, the needs of the community, the needs of your patrons. I mean, there's a lot of decisions that go into that I have a skill set that I've developed over the last, 9 years specifically in business that is really helpful to being the executive of the city. It's what I've been doing just on a much larger scale.
What would you say that your most important priority is that you would like to tackle as mayor?
Yeah, I think what I would like to tackle most is I went to Rogers High School, and a lot of my friends, I see them really working hard to succeed in the city. And, sometimes it's hard for people to advance out of, the position that they find themselves in. And I would like to help with that. And I think one of the ways to help is to lower taxes basically across the board. Because when we talk about taxes, many times you think that it's, we're going to take more from the rich than from the poor. But disproportionately, taxes hurt the poor because, it's hard for somebody who doesn't have as much to pay. And for example, in gas, now this isn't something we affect at the city level, but just as an example, we pay 70 cents a gallon in tax. That disproportionately affects the poor, the people who are trying to get to work, and it's hard. Cigarette taxes, soda taxes, those kinds of things disproportionately affect the poor when, the rich, have no problem absorbing that and those costs. And so for me, I think that taxation is something that we should really look to scale back pretty heavily. Also, as a property owner, I don't understand why I have to pay sales tax on something. And then also, I never really owned my home. I got to pay taxes on it every year. There's a few things of taxation that really bother me, because that's money that I would love to, to use in my own personal life. Last year, we had our AC unit go out at my house, and that's $4,600. What would have been really helpful was that $3,000 that year that I was paying in property taxes.
Those things you list, like soda, yes. Cigarette things, mm-hmm. Are there city taxes on those? Have you looked into that to see if
I don't that believe
stuff
that there's is? City taxes on those. There might be city taxes on soda. I haven't looked into that in particular yet.
So what taxes would you think of that you might try to lower then or work towards?
I don't have any in particular that I would lower specifically right now, just because, that's a long list. And as, you're learning about things, I'm still learning about what the specifics are that are being taxed. But specifically property tax, I know I would look to lower on the more consumer goods. I haven't looked into those specifically.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about, let's talk about, because this seems to be kind of a hot button issue this year, and everybody wanted to talk about this, the homeless situation in town. What kind of policies would you advocate for, and how would you rate the city's current response to that?
Yeah, what I really appreciate from the city right now is I believe that there are a lot of great organizations in town outside of the government that are working very hard to address the needs of those that are hurting and need help. And I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. One of the things I think the city should do is as it's working to provide housing, you have to go a step further than just housing because there are issues that led to people being homeless. Now, when you talk about the homeless, you can break them down into some categories. You have the people who are on the hard times, you know, a bill hit, you know, and they unfortunately were already living paycheck to paycheck, had to pay for something. For example, I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday, and you know, one of their tires went out. Well, they have an all wheel drive vehicle, and so they had to replace all four tires, which is about $500. I mean, people don't have that kind of money, you know, oftentimes laying around, and so then that money hits. You know, then they can't afford, I mean, they have to have tires so they can get to work and then they don't have money for rent and then, you know, they're out. Mm-hmm. So that's the largest population of the homeless that we have are the people who are the hard timers.
Paycheck away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's a large portion of it. And so then, so those are people that anybody in the community is very willing to help. And it's like, you know, hey, you're working hard. That really sucks. Let me help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have, you know, those who are really sick. And that's either addiction or mental illness. And I think this is where a lot of people, you know, when you have the hard timers who are down on their luck, people are very willing to help. Those who are addicted and mentally ill, people are very willing to help, but they're frustrated with how the city is handling it right now. What I would do is I would make it to where we would have a city coordinator that is specifically tasked to work with the nonprofits in town because I believe government is terribly inefficient and ineffective. And for us to come up with a solution, I think that you just find the people who are passionate about the issues because if you're a salesman, you know that you have to believe in the product. And I think that those the people who are working in the homeless space right now are the people who are passionate about the homeless. And so we find a way to champion them. So I would have a homeless coordinator. And basically what they do is they help people to work together and in conjunction with one another to where we are taking people, not just providing for their basic needs, but helping them move up into to where they have their basic needs taken care of, food, shelter, clothing. But then they also are being safe and protected because in buildings that they've been building to house the homeless and to give shelter space, I mean, it's rife with crime. People are still using in those areas, not really being protected even from themselves in many mm-hmm. ways. And so we need to protect them. And then we need to get them into that place of belonging as I'm, you can see it, people can't see it, but I'm sort of working my way up Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Into this belongingness where you have people. And I would look to create an adult adoption, find an organization that would be willing to be like an adult adoption coordinator, get them into families who would want to bring in the homeless and help them to have a place where they belong and they're part of a family again. Because many people on the streets feel like they've blown all their chances, you know, they've burned every bridge they've ever had. And with compassion, we can come in and show them, you know, you matter to this community and to us. And then you help them with their job trainings and get into a position where they're self-sustaining. But government shouldn't be the one doing it. Government was meant to protect, not to provide. And so we find the people who are doing the good work and we just champion them and help them to work better together.
You're listening to an interview between my colleague Steve Jackson and Jonathan Bingle, one of five candidates for Spokane mayor.
Let's talk maybe about the new jail that's been proposed.
Yeah.
Some think that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Others have, you know, plans to maybe kind of work within the system to change things so the jail isn't so crowded. But what's your general opinion of the jail?
I think my general opinion is I work with, I listen to the people who are the experts in that field, and the experts in that field say that we need a new jail. I don't plan to be pretend to be an expert there. And they say that we need a new jail. The reason why we need a new jail is our jail that was built, in the mid-80s was even small back then, and it's constantly double occupied. I mean, they have over 1,000 there when it wasn't even meant to hold even 500.
Mm-hmm.
And so you constantly have too many people in there. One of the other things that I would do is not just working with a new jail, but, the bail system in Spokane really, again, disproportionately affects the poor, where you have people who are becoming homeless even because you know, they can't make bail and they're held in jail until their court date, and really becomes almost a pauper's prison because they can't make bail. Now they're held. Well, then they can't go to work and then they lose their job, and it becomes a really nasty system. So I think the jail is important. I think the jail, as many of the experts in this town would be, it's not just a place to house criminals, but also ways to help to rehab their life and their decisions and help them to be in a position to where they're no longer making those decisions, to where they can go back to being a successful part of the community.
Do you think now the jail question too, you know, hinges on financing, and you were talking about lowering taxes. Do you think there'd be an issue to try to find financing for a jail? Do you have ideas about that at all? Or?
Financing for a jail would be difficult. This would be something that I wouldn't, I mean, would obviously have to go to a vote, in my opinion, where it's like, if we determine that we need a new jail, I'm not going to impose new taxation without obviously the people voting on it. And so if we as a community determine, yes, this is something that's necessary and we want to do it, that would be us as a community making that decision and not me. And so I would say that if they want it and they vote on it, absolutely do it.
Okay.
Yep.
And this is kind of related to things we've already talked about, but what's your opinion about the city budget? I mean, you talked about lowering taxes, but maybe discuss how would you prioritize the city spending?
Yeah. I in general think that government is, again, terribly inefficient and ineffective with money. I know as private people, we are much better with our money. Every city employee, not to knock city employees, but every city employee is both, you know, a salary, benefits, pensions. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. So every time we increase government, we're increasing not just I mean, it's not just a temporary increase. It's an increase for a very long time. And so I would prioritize the budget by just doing the basic needs of the community, not adding extra things that are really, again, could be a space that might be of need for the community, could be filled better by a nonprofit who's much more passionate about it, or a private business that's much more passionate about it and could be much more effective than the city. And so anything that I find that is not, you know, your basic, you know, your roads, your water, your, you know, schools, I mean, the things that are real basic priorities, you know, I would work to, I would work against those.
Are there any specific ones you're thinking of in terms of, I mean, what might be cut?
Not specific. I mean, I just started diving into the budget. I pretty recently came onto the scene, and so I'm in the middle now of really diving into all the issues. So unfortunately, no, I'm sorry, guys. I don't have any specifics to give you.
What about the current elected leadership? I'm kind of just your overall read on maybe what's going well and where changes are most needed related to, you know, the city government as it is right now.
Well, I think there was a poll that came out recently, and almost 80% of people were optimistic about the future of Spokane. And I think that speaks to the entire elected leadership of Spokane and the city employees, everybody who's working for the city. I think that that's a really, really big deal. So I think Mayor Condon has done a pretty good job. The city council, even though I disagree with some of their policies and what they're doing, I think that they've also been doing some good things, which is obviously shown in that people believe in the future of the city, and I believe in the future of the city. And so I think that having a bit more balance in elected government is very good. And so having more balance on the city council, I think, would be nice. Just so that in a community, you need diversity of thought. You need a lot of different perspectives, because big problems like homelessness and you know, what they're doing in the West Plains, which I know we're going to get to, it requires a lot of different perspectives and experiences to be able to see things through a different lens to come up with the best solutions. And so I would like to see a wide range of diversity in our elected government, because people have unique things to bring to the table. If you have a lot of the same people, you have a lot of the same ideas. So
do you think it could work with the current city council makeup? I mean, it's obviously going to change a little bit after this election, but what's your feeling of the current city council if you were the mayor?
Yeah, people are good, right? And even though, again, we might disagree policy-wise, it's not my city, it's our city. And if this is who the city wants to run their government, then I think that you should respect that and work with them. And so I know that they also want Spokane to be successful. We might disagree on what successful looks like, but they have good hearts and want, you know, Spokane to be good. And so Anytime you're working from that, you have that common ground of this is our home, it matters, it's a great place to be, you can work with anybody.
Okay.
Yep.
And we started to talk about West Plains. Yeah. So I think the main thing is there's all this new growth out there, especially with this new Amazon
yes.
plant going in and then the infrastructure improvements. Mm-hmm. And when they did that opening for the Geiger Boulevard infrastructure improvement last week, they mentioned, yeah, there's probably several more businesses coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Any concerns about how that may play out there in relation to the city of Spokane?
Sure. I'm a pretty optimistic guy, and so I think that any concerns that come with that are good problems to have, right? You have bad problems, you have good problems, and you have people wanting to come to Spokane, right? You have into our area. You have people wanting to establish big businesses in Spokane and small businesses in Spokane. I love the Hacking Washington that Mayor Condon came up with that is attracting young professionals and young business owners to Spokane. And so any of the problems that come, right, with housing, and housing is an issue, you have a lot of demand now being generated from people, the influx of people coming in, which again is a good problem to have. You have a lot of people wanting to come here. You're going to have to work with that, which means you have to allow developers to be developing new properties, which works hand in hand with affordable housing for the poor as well, or for the less fortunate. And then you also have, again, transportation needs. How are we going to get these people in and out? There's a lot of problems that come with it, but again, those are good problems to have.
Right. So you're optimistic.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing more business
in,
we can deal with that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because, and this is a thing that goes back to taxation. So what you want to do is you want to increase your tax base, not have a few people paying a lot. Okay. So if in the city of Spokane, and by the way, the city of Spokane last year, this was the first year that we had more sales, or Spokane County, we had more sales tax revenue than property tax revenue. It was the first time in history that that had happened. And it's great because you have a lot of people coming in who have money to spend, who are, building businesses, creating creating new industries that weren't here before. And again, that's a really great problem to have.
Okay. Hey, now, those are the questions we had prepared for you, but
yeah.
Anything else that we didn't bring up that you wanted to add that you think was important that the people would like to know about your race?
What I would like people to think about in the future is you have a lot of politicians who are talking about the problems that we have. I'm less of a what guy and more of a why guy. Why do we do the things that we do? We do things because people matter. We do things because you want to be treated the same way that you want to, and you treat others the way that you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're picking elected officials, there are a lot of people who have the ability to tell you a what, but what I would encourage you to do is look at people who understand the why, because there are a lot more problems that are going to be arising than just the ones that we have now, and there's a lot more great and encouraging things that are going to be happening, and you need somebody who can steer the city in the direction based on a good why. And so that's who I am. I'm a why guy, born and raised in Spokane. I mean, this city has been my home. It will always be my home. I think that's what I want people to know about me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jonathan, thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Jonathan Bingle is one of five candidates for Spokane mayor. On our Thursday, June 13th Inland Journal podcast, Steve will talk with another of the candidates, Kelly Cruz. You can find the Inland Journal podcast by searching for Inland Journal in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play, or find it on the Inland Journal page of the Spokane Public Radio website. Send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Doug Nadvornik.